Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
They sold Screen Junkies.
All of Break
crumbled.
Was gone.
Okay.
So it was just Alloy again. So they were like, they kind of leaned into that. They're like, look, now we're a tight,
efficient
community again. We're going to do all this, you know, great stuff now that we're so efficient and we're going to focus just on you guys and this is going to be the big turnaround. We got this now. We fucking got this.
Yeah.
Half of the passengers just died on the boat.
Yeah.
But we have more food for all of you guys.
Yes. That means yes. Exactly.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Welcome to the Shit That They Don't Tell You podcast. My name is Steve Green. I'm joined today by my beautiful wife. She is Nikki Limo.
I'm
don't
Nikki Limo.
Don't even say anything, Nikki. You don't need to.
Well, I'm going to.
You don't need to.
Well, okay. I shut up now.
And today we are joined by our very special guest. These guys and us, we go way the fuck back, man. It's great to see you boys.
You too.
We are joined by the Warp Zone. If you don't know the Warp Zone.
Well, we have three of the cast from Warp Zone right now.
This is
true.
Might as well be the cast.
Brian, Schroeder, welcome. Thank you for being here. You guys are
OG
YouTubers.
Nobody likes Davis.
No.
So this is great.
And people just forget Odom.
Dude. Everyone forgets right. Odom. I just forgot Odom right now.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
No,
exactly
so these guys, we used to be at Maker Studios together back in the Dizay.
Way back in the day.
And
Schroeder
so
was my
long
guy.
Ago we called it a Dizay. That was a long time ago.
Schroeder was my editor, my first editor I ever had.
This was before you guys really had your channel blow up at all. It was just the nebulous of a time day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They just started it.
Yeah.
And we were learning everything from just being at Maker.
That's
like,
honestly, that's where you should learn things, like a hands-on experience, because right now we're going to talk about like the rise of digital media and like MCNs and all of that stuff and basically the birth of a digital influencer. I hate that word. Back in the day, like you could only learn hands-on. Now people go to like seminars and they come back with buzzwords and they're like, oh, we were thinking for your call to action you could be blah 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 blah, and like it's like you don't
oh,
even
God.
Know you've
they
never
read
done a call to action
book,
in your
God.
Life
they read some book written by somebody like who wiped out, frankly. Like they were on YouTube.
That's
they never
true,
built
yeah.
an audience. They wiped the fuck out in a year. And then now they're getting hired at some media company as like
YouTubers
their social media person.
There's some sweet consultants, yeah.
It's the best.
It's
incredible.
Right.
They make six
so
figures.
Yeah.
They make so much money.
And they just sit there and
fuck
blink.
Guys, we should have failed.
We all should have done that, failing.
We did. We just don't want to have bosses. That's our problem.
I hope you don't have corporate listening, because honestly, sometimes they hire people that had like 80,000 subs like back in 2010, and they pay them so much money to like build their audience for their company.
And they don't know what the fuck they're doing, which is why they never made it on YouTube. Like, hello.
And I don't even think that we're very successful YouTubers, but like
we're middle of the road.
I'm just saying a company should hire me for that much money.
I would say that we've all been in Demolition Derby since the beginning, and our car is fucked, but we're still going.
It's still running for some reason.
That's how I look at it. I'm like, I don't believe that this thing's still going.
We're missing a windshield, every axle.
No doors, no fucking windshield, no roof, nothing.
Everything's been hit but the engine.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
I started in 2009. When did you start? 2010?
Oh, God,
around that.
2010, too. Yeah.
So let's start with going all the way back to Maker Studios. Oh, really? So back in the day, there were picture a world with no MCNs, with no digital media. There were no YouTube superstars. There were only cat videos and sports videos around.
When you went to agencies and you're like, or you went to auditions and you're like, hey, I have a YouTube channel. They're like, that's nice. What the fuck are you talking about? Don't mention that ever again.
My manager actually told me to never mention that I was on the internet because he didn't want me to destroy my career as an actress.
Are you a cat lady? Is that why you're on YouTube?
I don't know what you're talking about. I was never to talk about this.
Dude, all those guys, like, within three years, they were all proven wrong, and then they all just got promoted.
Yeah. Failing upward. Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's not like there was ever punishment where it's like, hey, remember what you guys said? Don't say your YouTube channel out loud. You're fucking fired. Instead, it's like, hey, we're gonna move you up. We think you should be a VP now.
You should run the digital department. Oh, it's going to be real good for you.
It's so good. And then they're like, now we have a digital department, even.
Yeah. You know. So many of you might be asking, what the fuck is an MCN? It's a multi-channel network, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. The other of you probably weren't even around in a world that didn't have MCNs and YouTubers and digital people. And so we're going to talk about that. So Maker Studios originally was like a bunch of YouTubers that kind of had audiences of their own at the time. So they were like the biggest comedy channels at the time. And they got together and they're like, what if we made a super channel? Great idea. We put our heads together. We all like join forces. We take over Hollywood. We overthrow the old traditional media and we make like a new world where there's no middlemen and you could just create your own opportunities.
They're like, we'll make an Avengers of all the greats put together. Right. Yes. What they didn't know is that they made Justice League. That's what they didn't know. But they found out very quickly because they started making those videos, and then our audience is like, hey, can you guys stop doing this shit? Yeah. And that's basically what happened to DC.
And it very quickly turned into Watchmen, which is very dark and sad real quick.
Dude, exactly. And now there's so many Joker movies, everyone's like, I don't even know what's going on with Joker anymore. Same shit.
I love this analogy. Keep going.
That's good. That's what happened.
Which DC movie is Nacho Punch? That's what I
mean. Yeah, right? Oh my God, dude. Oh, Jesus.
So these super channels, they made a channel called The Station, which then turned into Maker Studios. It was always kind of owned by that name, Maker Studios, but no one really knew the name. They only knew The Station. That was the YouTube channel. That was the face. And it did well in the beginning because everyone's like, whoa, I can watch all my favorite channels all at once. However, there was like too many cooks in the kitchen because they were all used to doing things their way, and nobody had ever like run a production company before the way that the traditional media that they were trying to overthrow had run a production company.
And I thought it was so interesting about Maker because it was like they were trying to recreate the wheel.
Yes.
It was like no one had ever thought of a production company before. And they were figuring it out from scratch. It was like, You're even in LA. You're in Hollywood.
You can just look at
any other production company for an example.
Then it'd be like, hey, how about you hire those guys? I'm like, how much are they? And like, oh no, never mind. Okay, we're going straight college kids. We're going straight interns. Whoever wants to.
Speaking of straight college kids, right out of college.
That's how we got started too. Not as interns, but because they needed a director or someone in the industry. So instead of hiring a director, they got Michael Gallagher from Totally Sketch, who we were cast members on that channel. Totally Sketch. We've had Michael on.
He had not yet become a director.
Like a movie director, but he had directed a bunch of sketches, and so they liked the stuff that he had done on his channel, so they brought him on as one of the founders of Maker Studios. And since he didn't appear in his own videos. He used us as like a representative mm-hmm. of his channel in the station videos, because everyone right. else that owned the station were in the station yes, videos.
Sure. Right.
But since he was directing the station videos, that's how we got in. And I was like, what is this place?
Well, it's like a weird place in Marina Del Rey. It was just like this open
yeah.
two-story sort of, like it's now not... It's since become like a weed store and a dojo, I think.
I believe it.
I'd buy it. Yes. So it was built not for like a production studio, and it was just like they sandwiched all these people in, and they just like
yeah.
just like wires everywhere, just like coming
like
out of every
makeshift.
Alley. Yeah.
Actually, when I started, it was at Shea Carl's house,
and then
it moved to Motor Avenue in Venice, and it was just a room in a building.
Yeah.
And then the next time I went back for a sketch, they had bought the whole, or they like rented out the whole top floor of that building. And then the next time I came back, then it wasn't the Washington place.
Wow.
That was the dojo.
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were there that much earlier.
It was before the station even launched. I was in.
Yeah, we came in like right soon after the launch of the station.
Yeah. Pretty like months after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after the fire, right? Where like Shane Dawson left and Phil left.
Everybody was still talking
the
about that.
The fallout was everywhere, yeah.
Oh, see, mm-hmm. When I joined, everyone was so excited. They're like, Phil's shouting it out on his channel right now. Look, he's announcing it.
Oh my God. Whoa, oh my God.
History in the making. Like watching Neil Armstrong land on the moon.
Crazy. And I had no idea about the YouTube world. I had only been like an actor in comedy and stuff, and I remember they pulled up Michael Buckley was talking about the station, and I was like, I'm subscribed to him. They're like, you know him? And I was like, no, I didn't know you could know these people. Like, I just found him on YouTube one time. But yeah, so everyone is, it's just a, if you can picture just like a clusterfuck, I think would be the better definition.
I have no idea what they're doing, but they're going to figure it out later.
Yeah.
Just imagine getting a bunch of YouTubers in the same room trying to make videos together. Like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
But none of them having a template.
There's no template. And before there was an industry, like, I think, you know, finding out about Maker Studios was the first time we learned that there was even a business to YouTube. We were making sketches in college for fun, and it was upon graduating that we were like looking for production jobs in LA and came across Maker Studios. And you know, they were hiring at the time. That was during the recession, so there were not a lot of jobs.
Oh shit! Yeah,
and we got super lucky. Like, we got right out of college.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like, we got so lucky with that.
And they weren't even called Maker then. They were just like.
Still the station,
right?
We met them as Maker. We met them at the first VidCon. Yeah.
Okay, so the first VidCon.
I remember making fun of the first couple of logos that they had. Because I was like, what is this shit? I was like, it's a Black Flag logo.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The first VidCon is when they announced Maker Studios becoming a thing.
That's when we were there.
Yeah. Okay, so
we met
a couple.
Danny Zappin.
Yes, Danny was
at a wine and cheese event at the Hyatt in Century City.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Yes,
That was.
Yeah. Those were the days.
It,
I met
giant
like most
convention.
Of the people I still keep in contact with. I met them at that first VidCon. It was great. So before then, they had this idea for Maker Studios because they're like, how do we make more money? How do we fund these productions? How do we fuck the man? You know,
how
all
do we
this
fuck
stuff.
Hollywood was the whole thing.
Yeah,
it was.
That
was
really
was.
Oh my God.
That was their first month.
Dude, they would go in. So I remember there's a legendary story that Danny and all the guys, they all went into WB or one of those studios, and they basically heard the meeting, and then they went, fuck you. But what's the point? Are you saying fuck you? Like, what's the context of the fuck you even?
I just wanted to say fuck you to the man.
Which is, I think that's rock and roll. I fucking love it, but I'm like, I don't understand the context. But that's
you know,
just one of the stories I've heard.
At this age, I'm like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you've been burned so many times. You've been in the industry and spit out and tossed around, and you're just like, fuck you.
We're going to do our own thing.
Yeah.
But especially even now, we all know people who have millions of subscribers, a million, there are billions of views and all the meme things that everyone says. And they can't get a movie made and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fact, in this era, only a very few people had a million subscribers.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like not even the top 50 had a million.
No.
It was like maybe 25. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know them. I mean, I feel like Jenna Marbles maybe had a million. She had a million.
I don't think she was.
No,
even
at the first VidCon, she had 200,000.
Had a million.
Yeah.
I remember Swift Karate Chop was in the top 100, and he had
like
500,000.
Now he's like selling insurance or something, I think. Literally.
I just remember, if you had 100,000 at the first VidCon, you were like a celebrity.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, Maker Studios a couple months beforehand had this idea, and they were going to kind of use a few people as guinea pigs. So me and Cecily Jenkins, they had asked if we wanted to be, like guinea pigs for this new thing they were going to try out, where they fund whatever productions we want. Like, you basically, you have their whole production company, whatever you want to do, and then they just get a recoup back from your channel. That was the deal that they were offering. And at the time, I was not making money off of anything. And I was the same as you were. I was just like, I just want to create shit. And this is so cool. So I was like this close to like being the first two people that Maker signed as officially like people they were taking under their wing. But my manager completely destroyed it, just completely burned down the deal. He was like, I don't trust these guys and all this stuff. And he just burned it down. So then when they announced Maker, I was so bummed that day because everyone got to walk on a stage and Cecily was there. And I was like, I should have been up there with her.
I wasn't on stage.
No, you weren't.
I was there.
You weren't involved yet. Yeah.
Well, I was there. I was in there, but I was not on stage. And I remember being like, I'll be on that fucking stage
one day. But they didn't have discussions with you about representing you yet, because it was just a brand new idea.
No, I think I had already met with those guys, and they were talking about having me be a writer, and then they brought me on as a talent within a couple weeks of that conversation.
I don't know if it was the same stage, but the panel that we went to where we like heard about Maker is, I think, is such an interesting like early YouTube panel. It had iJustine, Annoying Orange, Philip DeFranco, Danny Zappin,
Will of DC.
Oh my god!
Oh man, I miss Will. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. And I remember too. It was so interesting because I used to do Will's show in the early Maker days, and we would talk about YouTube drama and shit, kind of talk about numbers and shit.
Early.
And I would just sit there because I didn't know anything about YouTube people other than the people I had met. I didn't know anything, so I'm just burning everyone to the fucking ground. But it was fun.
It was the best. Yeah, it was the best show.
It was a blast.
You were like 3 or 4 years ahead of a trend there.
I think so, which is funny now because we got all the Keemstars and all that kind of shit. Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing.
What was your guys' experience like when you first started working with Maker?
So we were brought in, we met Danny and Sievers at the first VidCon, and we went back home to NorCal, and they called us back a few days later and said that they needed production people, and we had just graduated with production degrees, so we're like, sure, our first job, we'll do it.
I can't believe we took this deal. I can't.
We all went to college together.
Okay.
Yeah, same major. We all graduated at the same time,
and we all had this dream, like, passion of going to LA together and making the move together, and we didn't know like what kind of jobs we would get, but we'd like fend for each other. And
it's crazy that this job didn't even really exist yet.
Right.
No,
it didn't.
Yeah.
And then we got down, or we took the job, and we also wanted to be YouTubers too, because we were doing it as a hobby, and they sort of opened our eyes to doing it as a career. So we also wanted to sign with them, so they're like, all right, sure, you can work for us, and then sometimes you can work on your own little channel.
your own little baby channel.
They kind of made it sound like at first that it was going to be like a 50-50 split, and then pretty much as soon as we started working there, that was not the case.
We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves, because we were still high on the idea of all moving down together and all having jobs right out of college. No one was getting that.
We sardined ourselves into a duplex in Playa Del Rey, all five of us.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Same.
We all crammed ourselves in there. You were on a bunk bed with Odom.
Bunk beds.
Yeah.
With Aunt Odom. Yeah, do you remember that guy?
The shit end.
That's so funny.
And then we just started working there and doing whatever. I mean, I think Brian was on one of those. Do you remember your first Cecily video?
I remember my first Cecily video.
What's that? Right. We like Cecily. Right. What's going on?
What did you do? What did you do in your first Cecily
video? The first Cecily video I had to do, I had to make love to her.
I see.
There you go.
And she said I was being too passionate. She said I needed to be like more comedic.
That's fucking incredible.
I love that note.
That's the kind of shit. Can I just say, that's exactly the kind of shit that you didn't know what you were getting into when you went to Maker? I remember one time I was there with Lisa, and she climbed on my lap and just started stripper grinding all over me, and that was part of the video, and I was just like, and she had, and they had said prior to that, they're like, we're just going to do improv, and I was like, okay, cool, that's my wheelhouse, but then she starts stripper grinding all over me, and I was like, what the fuck do I do? And she was like the CEO's like lady.
Yes.
It was like crazy.
She's one of the founders.
Was he watching it smoking a cigarette in the back, too?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Fucking A. So yeah, it was just, that was Maker, though. You just didn't know what you were doing here.
You didn't know what you were going to do
but
each day.
All the corporate culture bullshit stuff you hear about was just not even existent.
No, not yet.
Your first video.
My first video was a Swift Karate Chop video.
What was it called?
And I was PAing. It was called Butt Chug. And it was about butt chugging.
Okay,
and there was an effect that Swifty
what
wanted
the fuck
to do.
Is butt chugging?
Like you pour the beer, you pour the beer in the funnel up your butt.
I just Swifty love that it's like my onslaught to
like
my
that.
Career.
Yeah, oh my
like,
God.
You absorb the alcohol
like,
faster.
You absorb it faster, and then like Ron dies in the end or whatever. But they didn't. He wanted like a fart to happen, and that would shoot out. That would shoot out the beer
the
that
beer.
Went in.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how to do that. So like, all right, I'll just be off camera. And I'll just blow the liquid back up into his face. So I was effects for a fart in Swifty's
effects.
Practical effects for a fart in Swifty's face. There we go.
Oh my God.
My first
I love hearing this shit because like you guys were in the trenches.
Yeah.
Like
I
was just like an actor girl that they would bring on for sketches and stuff, and like they'd kind of pass me around on everyone's channel. But like you guys were just there every day.
They were using us for our production talent.
You're like the
task it was like
rabbit
whatever,
of
yeah.
Maker Studios.
Well, that's like when I was a writer too. They'd have me in with Timothy DeLaghetto, and he's actually one of the people that I became friends with, like outside of Maker and shit. But it's like it's funny because I'm sitting there with him, and you're having a meeting, and it's like, okay, what kind of stuff do you want to do? He's like, well, I have this idea for like this video called Skeet Skeet Skeet. And it's just, like, what the fuck am I doing here? What is this stuff?
Was he very professional about it? Were you in his study?
You had production meetings for it.
Who the fuck are these people?
It was on like a whiteboard too,
and
on a calendar.
Brand on
yeah.
that.
Oh yeah,
it's
great.
Know?
It's the best.
He stayed consistent with
the creating. I get it now, like crazy.
Oh, and now that's totally a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know.
This was like the freaking, like just the zygote of all of the things that are just normal now.
Yeah.
So then it gets to the point where they start to,
start growing.
Well, no, they use the buzzword. They start to scale.
Oh,
Schroeder.
Scaling. My mistake. Yes.
Can we talk about how they did that first? So they basically put out videos saying, "Hey, you want to work with all your favorite YouTubers? You can if you just sign over your channel."
So you sign over a percentage of your channel, and then you get to work with some of your favorites, like Shane Carl and all these great people.
The splits were really high.
They were really high in
compared
Maker's
to
favorite.
What they are now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it was like 60-40 for Maker.
Yeah, 60-40.
Oh, my God.
So they were making money off of mostly the plebs who never even got to walk in the building.
Yeah, it was like pennies
that's
off
true.
Of all these small channels, pennies, and added up into like paying.
But,
all their bills.
Yeah, but it sounded good at the time because we were starting a channel that didn't have monetization even.
Right.
So
they're like, we can get you monetized and
take
that
work
monetization.
Like,
cool
sure, you can take that percent if you're going to monetize us.
Yeah, it sounded like a great deal.
We don't know where this
time.
Is going.
Yeah.
And that's basically exactly how it was. But that was what was, I got to say, man, that was what was so cool about it is that, like, for example, you had a certain amount of time, a month or whatever, that you could work with camera people and all that stuff, or editors. And so
not
it's
all these
like,
little channels.
Well, no,
you
I'm,
guys
no,
did.
No, you
I'm
guys
talking,
did.
I'm talking about like the people. Yeah, the first
the
couple channels
there,
they signed, right?
Yeah.
So what was so cool about that was you got to really honestly do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It wasn't like there's a man that's in the way and they're gonna you gotta bounce your idea off this person. It's like, no, you really do get to try out whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go
yeah.
make
yeah.
skeet, skeet, skeet.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just fucking do it.
So
yeah,
so that was
like,
cool.
Yeah, we were like a step, I feel like one step down. We got to use their equipment. So that was our benefit.
But they're like, you make your own shit.
And they're like, bring it back.
Yeah, they're like, bring it back.
Help us
and most
when
of the time,
they had time. Like
most of the time we brought it back.
like we had like props made for us and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I think even the Killzone video that you were in, like that mask was
made by
people in their downtime Maker.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, we got props made on the downtime. No, but it was, you know, it was fun. Yeah, the creative aspect was just like, well, do whatever you want.
Yeah, it was. It's not just all bad. It's like, man, there was some stuff where even just getting to know you guys, like I got to meet so many people over those years that I would have never met.
Yeah.
Like if you're all siloed totally. In our own buildings doing our own YouTube videos.
No,
I would have never
that's
known.
That's what I miss about right it. There. I miss yeah. those yeah. days of just like, no one's making any money. Everyone's getting raped by the man. But yeah. we're all like having a good time and trying to figure yeah. it out.
Let's just, like, just go to the house, that one, the one house and party. And
yeah.
Go
yeah.
to Kenny and fucking
yeah.
hang out.
Yeah. yeah.
Or even just like with you, Schroeder. Schroeder used to edit all my stuff. And and he's like, hey, you want to be in my video this weekend? I'm like, fuck yeah. It was like shit like that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that easily anymore.
No. And yeah, I feel like that's what was so valuable about it. Like all the people we met, the collaborations, like it, and it was so easy. And I know for us, that was like a huge part in getting started and growing. And I don't think we were totally aware of it because it was just kind of happening naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, that was our only experience with YouTube, was being around so many people and being able to collab with so many people.
Yeah.
But, you got people all around the country that. They don't get that.
They don't get that
option. No. And even if they sign with a network, they're never going to get that option.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And
what, are they going to fly over to LA and like, yeah, and then maybe Kasim will show up.
It's so true. Yeah. And then they didn't even, what network are you going to sign to? Maker like was inventing as they were going along. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much invented this model that you can sign a channel and then take a percentage of the revenue from that channel. And like as that became the new norm going to like 2012 2013, creators started being like, wait a second, I can make a lot more money, I'm more valuable than this. And then they started negotiating, and now there's like a whole system in place, and it's crazy that none of that existed just like 10
it's
years
almost
ago.
Like we were all in old Hollywood and we had to advance into new Hollywood within 3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like old Hollywood's really like fast. You sign with a studio and now you're the studio's property, and you make videos for the studio and they recoup off of your contract and all this same kind of shit.
Now you got to speak on camera too. We'll do talkies now.
Right.
You're
dude.
Talking
head. It came to the point where a lot of people are now signed with Maker and it's all like kind of great and people are getting, there's write-ups and Hollywood
and brand deals.
Brand
deals were not really a thing until like 2010, I think, was the first time I did a brand deal. And I was like so stoked that I got $100 to like be in this brand deal that like Shay Carl and all the station people were in. And it, like we all got free shoes out of it.
That's the Reebok one. I got to do that one too. Except I didn't even get $100. What the fuck?
I just got free shoes. Did you get some shoes? Okay,
I got
something.
But they were dirty as fuck. They had us do a food fight video. And they're like, you get to keep the shoes. And I'm like, but they're dirtier than shit. They're the dirtiest shoes in my whole closet.
Oh, mine wasn't the food fight one. It was the dodgeball one.
Well, yeah, so that one didn't get dirty, so good
clean.
For you.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? Everybody gets to keep the shoes. And you look down and you're like,
you're just covered
oh,
in food.
Man.
But you were still stoked on it because you're like, I got free shoes.
Oh, for sure. Well, because
you never get anything.
It's really that you get to call your mom and tell her that you got free shoes for something today. Yeah. And like, they're $100 shoes normally, but they're destroyed, so it doesn't matter. But you don't tell her that part.
Doing great. LA's great, Mom.
I used to get recognized on the street for a video called Interactive Sex. That was the most embarrassing thing. They'd be like, wait,
was,
I know you.
Totally
I'm
sketchy.
Like, no,
that's
you don't.
A popular video.
It was also the most hilarious one.
At one point, if you typed in sex into YouTube search, it was the first video that
pretty
popped
powerful.
Up. I think it had 180 million views, which at the time was like,
Jesus.
That's a lot
I mean,
of
it's
views.
Still a lot now, but like,
was that
at the time,
all of
it
them
like,
combined?
No, just the first one.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was fucking nuts.
So Maker starts evolving, and then the founders kind of have a falling out, and basically...
Well, which one? I mean, the first time.
Well, the first time, yeah.
Sure
the
several
first
times,
time, that was very public. The second time, it was less public of a falling out. Mm-hmm. More of like a hostile takeover.
Yep.
Talk
about shoving.
Talk about when they were trying to sell to Disney, like what that was like when they were... auditing and all that stuff.
Okay, so there was a period of time where, do you guys remember this shit where it's like, hey, everybody, there's an email that got blasted out and it's like, everybody show up at work and pretend like you're working. And then they would walk VCs through, like these venture capitalist guys, and they'd walk them through, and then the venture capitalist would walk around and be like, yeah, this looks like a legitimate business. This looks pretty wow.
Yeah, there's people here. Everybody needs to be on time today.
Yeah.
Everybody on time, everybody on a computer, you're doing something. And then they would have Ron walk around with a camera crew and film a bullshit video that they were never going to post.
Station 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Which later became Station 2. But
is that where Harlem Shake came from?
No, that, well, that was even, this is even before then, yeah. before they went to that office. Yeah. Like, this is they were still at the Washington address, and they were just, like, trying to raise enough venture capitalist money to keep the whole thing floating.
Got it.
Yeah, so then Ron would just film some horseshit video pulling out of his ass that nobody would post anywhere. And even though it was, like, kind of better than the regular station videos, but that doesn't matter.
I remember, like, them staging shoots for press also. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So it was just amazing to watch, like, to see on the inside that nobody knows what the fuck they're doing, even the venture capitalist guys who are multimillionaires who have no idea how to even assess a business.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, well, they're working, so it must be good.
So fast forward that to Bob Iger of Disney walking through Maker Studios doing the same shit. He's like, this has a lot of people in it. I see a lot of people that appear to be working as well. I'm going to write a check for $600 million for this fucking company. It's unbelievable what they pulled off. Those guys,
it is.
And when I say this, it's not to disparage the guys who did it. They fucking pulled one of the greatest heists. Nope.
There should be a Big Short style.
Exactly.
Yes. Based on this.
Yeah. Dude, based on this story. You want to talk about fucking the man? They literally blew the building up on their way out with Disney inside. And Disney's like, wait. And then fucking the building blows up. And then they're like standing out front, fucking smoking a cigarette, walking away from the thing. It was like.
And who can pull that off with Disney?
I know.
The guys that just bought Marvel and Star Wars. And then they're also like, oh, we also need to buy the internet.
Yes.
So, yeah. Fucking A. Yeah.
I think that was it. It was that there's this new thing going on called the internet. All the kids are on it. We don't know anything about it. Well, we'll just trust the one that seems like they know the most about it. And then that's what happened.
And they had big numbers to.
Yeah.
They had what, 40,000? Maybe
we like the. Phrase it as we saw the company go from 40 channels to 40,000 channels in a matter of 3 years.
And do you remember during the 40,000 channel days, they used to do those Friday night socials, cocktail drink hour things where they would have a running tally of all the views they got that month on a fucking projector screen. Yeah. And it, you know what I mean? Just to stroke their fucking massive cock about this shit. Like it was always like, and they always use those buzzwords too. It's like Maker Studios has got more views this month than minutes that exist in our current time.
The more minutes that you've ever been alive.
It was just like, Jesus, dude. The kind of shit they would say was unfucking real. And they were being 100% straight-faced and clear-eyed about it. It was great, man.
Dude, did you guys go to that one Ray party?
The Ray party.
Yeah. Oh, ice sculpture party.
The ice sculpture? Yes. Yeah. So VidCon 2. 2011, I believe.
Yeah.
Ray William Johnson is their number one creator, and they threw in this insane party in Hollywood, and they had limos drive you from the Hyatt Regency
to the
Hollywood. But I didn't know they had limos, and I lived two blocks away from the place in Hollywood, so I just walked and
you didn't take a limo.
There was a Warp Zone limo.
Took a limo. Yeah.
As long as you didn't take a limo on the way back, you scored. But on the way back, everyone was so fucking tanked, they were fucking barfing all over the limo.
I walked home and I was wasted.
Yeah.
They had a private sushi chef, and they had like Kobe beef burger servants walking around.
It was insane. And it was like every YouTuber you could think of at the time was at that party.
Yeah.
I
saw pictures the next night. I was like, I don't even remember taking that. What even is that picture?
And then everyone would try to take pictures with Ray, but then Ray was like notoriously antisocial. So he would pull you in for a picture even if you weren't there to get a picture with him.
I didn't know him, and I wasn't familiar with the world still, and I didn't even know who the party was for. And I just met him randomly, and I was like, are you Ray? And he just immediately took my hand and pulled me in to take a picture, and then he was confused that there was no camera.
I watched him.
I don't want a picture.
So when we come back from our short break, we will be discussing the rise and fall. Well, the aftermath of Maker, and then the rise and fall of one Defy Media.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, are you listening to Should They Don't Tell You? Because if not, how are you listening to this ad about Should They Don't Tell
it's
You?
Because they can't turn it off. They don't know how to turn it off.
Well, that's pretty convenient for
They're
us.
They're throwing their phone on the ground right now.
Once you can figure it out, could you please rate us and subscribe and like tell us that we're beautiful?
Listen,
we want it.
We need the validation. But mostly we need the ratings because, I mean, that's basically how the world is
that's
run.
That's how we continue to make more and more and more of this content, this glorious content that you love so much.
If you like the show, support the show. And if you don't like the show, support the show.
And it's for free. The stars are for free.
Yeah, you give them away for free. It's not like if you give 5 stars, you pay more money. They should have charged for every single star. That would have made so much money. And it just made a killing.
And we're back. We're going to talk more about MCNs, and hopefully by now you've picked up that multi-channel networks. They take other channels, multiple ones of them, and they just own you. Also sponsored by Studio 71.
Yeah,
thank you for
Studio
sponsoring our podcast, Studio 71.
They're great. They are
we love you. Okay, great.
Yeah. Best MCN.
You guys just signed with them too.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, they're one of the ones that stuck around. But before that, you guys, after Maker kind of fell apart, you moved on to Defy.
Yeah.
Did that seem like a good thing at the time?
So we left Maker a little bit before the sale when we sort of saw what was happening.
The downfall.
We saw that. I mean, since we were in production, Maker realized, oh, fuck, production doesn't make any money.
Why are we doing
this? Why are we doing production when we have 40,000 channels that we don't do anything for, but we
They're
get,
just printing money.
But we get 10% of the revenue for just existing. So they were cutting production left and right. So we're like, all right, we're going to probably
So we were like shifting around into roles wherever we
Yeah, like I went into analytics.
I remember that.
I went into live. Like, yeah. They didn't have, I guess, anyone at the company that had, like, technical directing experience. And I had just, like, taken a studio class in college. So they like, just gave me the TriCaster and said, figure it out. Because they wanted, you know, live hadn't quite become a thing yet. And they were experimenting with it. So they just still had a live department at this time. But I knew it was short-lived. So.
You know what's so weird about this? Is, like, you guys were in the company. Everyone came to you about all gamer-related stuff. It was like you guys and like one other guy maybe, Lane.
Well, we were part of the Game Station, and I was editing. My job was like to edit Lane's daily gaming news shows. I was hanging out with Lane every single day.
Oh wow,
he's the best. We love Lane.
He's amazing.
But that said, they would outsource. They would like hire out for people to do the gaming content stuff. And I'm like, wait, you have these guys here who know about gaming, who live and breathe gaming.
Yeah.
Why can't you put them in charge of any of the creative for any of the stuff? And they never did that shit. They always just hired some random ass person from some fucking company.
They did that throughout the whole company. Yeah. They would always hire,
And then here you are now. You guys started your own gaming channel and built it the fuck up and like exploded. And they never were like, hey, maybe these guys could do that shit. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah. And that's like that was the other reason why we left, is because, you know,
the advancement.
Like, Schroeder, how about analytics for you, bud? you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, analytics, yo, they're fun. They're like, I mean,
what a misstep.
Yeah, it was good. That was another great place to learn stuff. You know, learning analytics was good to help grow the channel.
All helpful for your journey.
No doubt. But it was weird to not be in production, and that was different. It was also a lot of downtime because it was just like a lot of research, and then once you finish your report, you're like, I guess I'll watch YouTube
for a while or whatever.
Call it work. Yeah, sure. To see what's trending. Yeah.
I do think in general, though, and we kind of touched on this earlier, that Maker was just like a really good learning experience.
Yes.
Like it was just like YouTube 101, because we said earlier, because everyone was there in one place, you're kind of, even whether you're aware of it or not, you were just absorbing like different tips and tricks. And
It was like a camp for like a base camp.
But our channel was getting a fair amount of traction. We had a lot of videos that had millions of views, and
So we were taking what we were learning and applying it to the channel, and it
was working.
But nobody even knew in the company. You see what I'm saying?
They're
not going like, "Hey, Schroeder, come over here." Like, we should talk about some of these, like helping us with our in-house gaming thing that they had.
Yeah.
Like they never did that shit. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
I remember Nacho Punch, right?
Yeah,
like Nacho Punch was a. Was like Maker being like, "Hey, we're gonna bring the station back, but we're gonna have all of our top comedic talent at Maker. We're gonna have them make videos for our channel." Now it's probably some tax write-off. Who the fuck knows why they did it? But you know what I mean. For all I know, but I remember we'd all sit down for these meetings. We'd all write sketches for it and stuff, and we came up with what we hoped was a style. Mm-hmm. And then they brought in this guy Andy Vick, a lovely man, but he had his own comedic style that he wanted to do. And so it was like, well, we're just going to do what Andy Vick wants to do and not what the ingrown, like the house talent thinks is good. And so it was just like, we're making videos to please this man and not to please an audience. And we're not coming up with a style, a consistent style. We're just like, hey, Steve and Peter Gilroy or whoever, like we want you guys to write scripts. And then we want to have like Alpha Cat star in it. And then it changes the tone of it and everything.
Yeah.
Nothing against AlphaGate. Iman's a great guy.
You
got to write for the person that's in it.
That's what we were told to do. It's not like we were told, hey, write this for AlphaCat. It was this because it'll be funny. And then we were like, okay, well then Peter talks like this, I talk like this, and we'll do it like this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we'd be watching AlphaCat do it because he had more subs and numbers and shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just so fascinating to see like how they wouldn't take the people who were doing it well in-house and just letting them do it.
Yeah. They basically became the man.
Unfortunately.
They became the middleman.
And I remember being on the plane when Maker sold. I was on the plane coming back from Playlist. Kasim G's in front of me. And it's like, everyone's like, congrats, man. You're a millionaire, basically. To him. To me, I'm like, oh, wait, I have no stock. Oh, fuck. And like, I remember all the guys at the time who were there since the OG days.
Yeah.
I remember looking around the office and being like, hey, Nah, did you get any stock? And he's like, I think I have one, and I'm like, oh, shit. It was pretty wild, dude.
Yeah, we were that was a mistake to not try to get stock.
Same
that
for
was,
all of us.
Yeah, yeah, that was, man, that was a lot of money.
A lot.
But
could have been fun, hey?
Yeah.
But instead, we got to learn, hey?
We
so,
did.
You know,
right.
We learned experiences. You know, that's invaluable.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys went to college for
priceless.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
You can't buy that.
That was grad school. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
YouTube grad school.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Grad school. It was, man.
We went to, yeah, U of Maker. For our yeah. grad program.
Great university.
So how'd,
great
you get in with, how'd you get in with Defy?
Wait, let's for those of you that don't know who Defy is, they were recently in the news. You could probably Google it right now, and a bunch of articles would come up. But yeah, they're another MCN that a lot of big channels went to. Smosh, Warp Zone,
yeah.
Like a lot of bigger channels, Clever, and out of nowhere, just filed for bankruptcy, and everyone lost their AdSense and couldn't get paid. Not only did the employees that worked for Defy not get paid, and they were told they don't know when they'd ever get paid for the work they did, but also everyone that they repped channel-wise didn't get their AdSense.
And they were owed months of money.
And yes. Months, yes.
Yeah.
And it was just like, guess what? It's liquidated. Sorry.
Yeah. Have they paid yet, or have you gotten recouped any of that? Or
so here, our situation was a little different than those channels. So us, like Smosh and Clever, were actually owned by Defy Media.
Okay.
Yeah, we sold.
So they purchased.
Yes.
Yeah, they purchased the IP.
And then you were like basically employees on your own channel?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, because we were getting to a point at a Maker where we were doing the channel on the side and working for Maker. Maker was like growing like their employee base, like, you know, so like they didn't really care about the channel so much, and we wanted to take the channel full time.
Yeah.
And so this was like the best opportunity for us to do that.
I remember when you guys did that. I think we're at the YouTube space back then.
Kickstarter didn't exist, or, you know, really the only option was, you know, there's five of us. So five of us on one channel is hard to do.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough of a business model.
Yeah, there wasn't really a business model there.
Outside of like a company like Defy that, you know, was actually a little different than the other MCNs in that they were focusing on owning and.
Yeah. It was also at the time not Defy. It was Alloy.
Oh, that's a really good distinction. Oh. It was Alloy Digital when we sold it.
I remember
it was not
Alloy.
Defy
gotcha.
Media.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Alloy was just like Smosh and Clever and the Escapist at the time, and we seemed like a really good fit there. And,
yeah.
You know, they seemed really focused on being small and like really, really supporting like the few
the outside,
channels that
it
they believe
like
in.
That was a great move.
Totally.
And they were like stock, you know. And we're like, that thing that we should have got at Maker.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, well.
not now.
It was tight at the time.
It was tight
It was.
On paper. Yeah, with companies selling at the time, it sounded like, that's just like a foregone conclusion.
Right.
Like,
Oh, fuck.
Seemed like it was the economic way to do it is like sell our IP. We'd still get to work on it, you know. And it would be great. We would be with Smosh. We'd be with Clever. They were just starting up Smosh Games.
Like a great fit.
The Escapist they owned, which was a big website at the time.
Also gaming related.
So we're like, okay, this is going to be a cool, nice little family. We're going to get a lot of attention. And we did for 3 months.
3 months. It was great honeymoon phase for 3 months.
It was really tight. It was great for 3 months.
It really was. And like,
out of how many years that you were?
Five years.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Well, so 3 months, you know, they're actually like making good on everything they said. We're in like Smosh videos. We're getting a lot of company resources. If anything, we were doing too much. Like we went from one video a week to five videos a week.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, that was kind of unsustainable, and we found it was better to make less videos.
It was actually MatPat that helped us out with that. MatPat was an employee, the game theorist guy. And he, when he got super big, he left the company, but he's good.
But the analytically,
yeah,
it was like,
he was their analytics
guy. Okay, and so they were like, you know, it actually make more if you do less videos. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it was funny. Mm-hmm. We cut the programming in half, and the views doubled.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just,
but it was
awesome.
Cool.
But anyways,
it was just the point is we were having a lot of hands-on time.
Yeah, a lot of hands-on attention
but
early
behind
on.
Behind the scenes, Alloy was making the deal with Break Media.
Mm. And we had no idea, even though we'd been in negotiations with them for like 9 months to sell Warp Zone.
Wow.
And then 3 months later, like obviously that deal was happening.
But it helped pad their deal.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because instead of just getting you, they got like the whole Alloy package.
Yeah, well,
I don't think they knew about. The way it goes down, I don't think Break had any idea that we were part of it.
I think they were just like,
tacked on late. And
gotcha.
Yeah. I think they were mainly worried about, or mainly concerned about being like, all right, we're going to have Smosh in our crew, you know?
Of course.
Because they were, they had, you know, Break was a big website.
Yeah, they were
back
huge.
Then.
I remember going to their, I had a meeting there one time and it was just this huge facility.
Yeah, it's
facility.
Above the CAA building.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was huge. It was a,
yeah, so they, Break.com was a huge site, and they also had Screen Junkies, and
right.
They merged in with the company, and then, yeah, we were just like lowest on the totem pole of like a much.
Well, yeah, I really think that they didn't know we were part of the Alloy deal, so when they joined forces, we were like just there.
Okay,
I'm surprised we didn't get fired then. Like they're just like it was like oh. Who are you? Nah. Nah, we don't need
we had to need yeah, we had to take meetings to like tell people who we were.
Oh,
and
Jesus,
like what are
dude.
What
that's
we
corporate
did.
Culture if I've ever heard
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, we
this
got,
was
we
like right
to.
After selling. It was
oh
like,
God.
What? We have to prove
we have to
ourselves
do this shit again? All
so
right.
Then how do you end up at Defy?
Oh, it became
yeah,
Defy.
So,
oh, so then
yeah,
it was
so
Defy.
That
we
merger, that merger becomes Defy, and we're just gotcha. A part of the package.
And then
yeah.
How, so once Defy became is now your boss, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
The Warp Zone's boss.
Yes.
How does that feel? What's that like?
That was rough at first because it was just having to reprove ourselves. And reproving ourselves.
After all
yeah.
of that?
Yeah, after all the sales and all the negotiations and stuff. It was,
yeah,
like,
so
we
it was
thought
like going
we
back
in
for your
clears.
Masters.
Yeah, yeah. It was another good lesson. There's a lot of good lessons in YouTube. And it was one of the executives who were like,
let's
that's
get
what
a
happens
business
when you sell your
degree.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Law school. Let's go med school.
I forget which executive it was. But yeah, he was just like, when we were sort of talking about this, like, that's what happens. You don't own your IP anymore.
Yeah.
This is it.
Damn.
Like,
that's what happens when you sell.
Yeah. So we reproved ourselves, and over the next year, like, really learned how to work on brand deals. That was like the heyday of brand deals, where they were just like coming in every.
That first year is pretty bonkers.
Every like
yeah.
We had to turn down so many like.
That's good.
We made them
champagne
a,
problems and all that.
We made them a fuck ton of money.
Nice.
We didn't make the money. We got.
Oh, you're
right.
Because
you're still. Because
we were fucking employees.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Gut punch.
We made them a fuck ton of money.
That's
the first,
crazy.
The first year.
Yeah.
It was a good first year.
But at least it bought us our independence there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we sort of from then on, they're like, all right, you guys are making enough money. You can go do your thing.
Yeah, they let us go back to like being just Warp Zone.
You had to buy your freedom.
Yeah, I mean, we had to buy our creative freedom.
Oh,
yes.
I don't think we really explained what that. So when the merger happened, they asked us to work on other stuff again. So we actually helped develop and launch Honest Game Trailers.
Oh my God.
Because
the big you know thing with joining Screen Junkies and Smosh is like, how can we have synergy here? And it was the Screen Junkies had always wanted to make you know an Honest Game Trailers, and they hadn't like totally figured it out, and they thought it would fit really well in Smosh Games, and so they came to us to develop it. And yeah, so Shro and Ryan actually worked on the first several Honest Game Trailer
episodes.
So
not only were you employees on your own channel, but you also got sent to work on
you're
other
back
people's
to make
yeah,
money.
Yeah, we're back to make
oh
a situation.
My God.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so but that after that first year, we were able to just be like, all right, we're making you guys enough money. Like, fuck off.
So then how did it feel
like,
when Defy...
Like, use your third wish to make me free.
Yeah.
How did it feel when they filed for bankruptcy? What happened?
So, yeah, I guess, like, yeah, then it was just kind of 4 years
I think we can pretty much flash forward.
Yeah, we can jump forward, yeah. So the last year, things were going not... we didn't think that the company was going to go under, but there was clearly, like... some problems.
Okay.
Mm.
What was the first like you're in the Matrix and you see the black cat?
Yeah. What was the first sign?
I think it was. I mean, maybe we'll have different opinions on this. I think it was when they cut like a huge portion of the Screen Junkies staff, and it was like, I don't remember how many it was. It was probably like at least 50
because they
people
wanted to go real
sudden.
Big with Screen Junkies. That was when the OTT stuff was happening. The like
what's OTT?
Everyone needs their yeah. Over the top was okay. but everyone needs their own fucking app. You know how there's
I remember that phase. Yeah. So yeah. Everyone had an app. Yeah.
So this was the Screen Junkies app. I think it was Screen Junkies Plus. I don't know. Since everyone
sounds
needs
about right.
Disney
sounds right.
And everyone needs to put a plus by it, that means that you're gonna
that
pay
means
extra
I gotta
for
pay for
it.
This.
Yeah. So it was Screen Junkies Plus and they were trying to do that thing and that bombed hard because people are like,
I don't need an app.
I don't want to pay
that,
for this.
That one's might be a step too far. Like,
can I just real quick for anybody out there? I don't want to watch a fucking video in an app. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want
Thank
to.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Watch Steve goes on Thank to make, create an app that shows
yeah,
his
you're
videos.
Gonna revolutionize the world. Yeah.
In fucking 5 years, you're gonna
and they
come out with an app,
like,
and we're gonna yeah, we're gonna come back to this. Yeah.
Never.
Podcast. Or it's a Steve app that just plays that clip of you saying, "I don't want to." That's all it does.
That's really good.
You can sell that for
that's
night outside. So that would be pretty good.
That's a good app. It's a video of me saying that.
That's
right. That's really, really good.
So yeah, then that's that. Failed hard, and then they fired let go a bunch of people from Screen Junkies, and that was they were like their biggest, you know, they were a very big team. They were,
yeah.
So
I think that was like the first visible failure at the company.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And when
that
like
was
a
first
lot
visible failure. There's definitely
right. There's probably other stuff going on that we were not aware of at all.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Because you know, we'll get to how much money they eventually lost, but it was like. They lost a lot of money, and it was like, where did all that money go?
Yeah,
they had just
over $70 million
like a
investment.
Year before they had raised $70 million, and it was gone.
Yeah, it was 2 or 3 years.
It was gone
ago,
in
I
two
think.
Years.
Yeah,
how many employees do they have?
The highest the company had was 400.
Jesus.
And they were in this Beverly Hills building.
It wasn't just Beverly Hills. They had offices like around the country and around the world.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
They were scaling up to sell too, right?
Yeah, that was the whole plan. They were trying to sell.
They were definitely scaling up to sell.
Welcome to corporate America.
And I think that it's kind of tied to Maker after Disney realized that they were sold a bunch of vaporware, like a bunch of bullshit. I think other companies were like, oh, well, we shouldn't buy that. So I think Defy couldn't sell, even though they were spending money.
But we have offices
in London. For legal sakes, this is all like super speculation. I have no idea if this is true, but it seems like
Michael, we're just talking about a fantasy that happened.
Yes, in this fantasy Defy land.
This is not real things.
But that seems like they were definitely trying to sell, and they were definitely spending the money like they were going to sell, and just time went on, and they didn't sell. And then,
dude, I remember when Danny got pushed out of Maker, and they brought in that, I don't know, the fucking Vladimir or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Inon.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, that was the warning shot. You know what I'm saying? Because when Danny got forced out, I was like, this is pretty fucked. But then I was always closer to the Donovans anyway. So, because like Ben and Lisa were always super chill to me, and they always have been. So I was like, okay, well maybe there's something that I'm not aware of that happened, and like it's probably all good. And then like literally 6 months later, they sold. You know what I mean? It's like fuck you. You're like when you're looking back though, you're like, oh duh, that was it. Like,
it was
you, like you're saying, Screen Junkies.
Actually, that could have been an even earlier sign than Screen Junkies was when Smosh had their big shakeup. Because also what people didn't know is that like after Anthony left, also the creative. Sort of the creative head at Defy also left with him.
Oh.
And do you remember, like, saying goodbye to him? He was, like...
Yeah.
He was very cryptically gloom and doom. He was, like...
I think the Screen Junkies Plus thing was before that, though.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think that was my first...
There were a lot of signs.
Looking back, that was my first sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he was very, like... I'm trying to remember exactly what
he
said, but it was something.
He said like you're not just competing with YouTubers now, you're competing with traditional Hollywood and like we're screwed.
It was something along those lines. Yeah.
Dude, you're in a horror movie and you're going to the cabin and the old man at the gas station is like, oh, you better be careful up there, but we're not wrong.
Yeah, right. And we didn't listen.
Yeah.
We didn't listen.
It's gonna be a foggy night tonight.
We had to play the movie out. Like we had no choice. Like, yeah.
So what happened after they filed for bankruptcy? Like, what did you guys
do?
Let's like, what do
it? Oh man, because
that was last year.
That was
so. This
yeah,
is
that
November.
Was November 6th.
So not even really 6 months ago.
Almost
like,
five.
Just
almost
6 months.
5 months
yeah,
to the
almost
day.
Almost 5 months to the day. Yeah.
Oh my god.
What? like I think
we just go to the Friday.
The Friday before
the Friday. So,
the Friday of Jeff.
So
I love how they do this on Fridays.
But they didn't do it. They didn't do it on Friday.
That's just
they
mean.
Warned us on Friday.
So like a month before shit went down. They did one last big.
Oh yeah, that's a good place to start.
This is
that's because
this is kind of they did one last big round of firings, like, and
they had a rah-rah speech where the
and somehow, because again we made enough money, somehow we were still there.
They had cut a lot of things.
It was
at that
ironically
point.
Smosh, Clever, and us.
Yeah,
Ami wasn't what it was.
It was
Ami
like
was
a,
like almost dead too, but it was the same crew as the original.
Yeah,
and they sold Screen Junkies.
All of Break
crumbled.
Was gone.
Okay,
so it was just Alloy again. So they were like, they kind of leaned into that. They're like, look, now we're a tight,
efficient
community again. We're gonna do all this, you know, great stuff now that we're so efficient and. We're gonna focus just on you guys, and this is gonna be the big turnaround. We got this now. We fucking got this.
Yeah.
Half of the passengers just died on the boat.
Yeah.
But we have more food for all of you guys.
Yes. That means, yes. Exactly. That's great.
That's really nice, man. That's nice.
So yeah. So then that month we couldn't. They owned our IP, so we could never really.
Leave.
Yeah.
It was like indentured servitude.
For how long?
A little bit. Yeah.
How long were you supposed to stick with your IP, like to until you guys were bought out or whatever?
Oh, they owned it in perpetuity.
They bought it.
Saying, were you locked into your IP? Where like
no, we could have left whenever.
I got you.
We
were just getting paid as employees.
Yeah.
We were employees. We could have just. Left whenever we wanted to, but
that's work.
It was our thing that we made. We didn't want to leave.
We didn't want to leave it.
So then that month sort of went on, like, and they were actually doing that. They were actually like, "All right, you guys, who are you called again? Oh, you're the Warp Zone. Okay, we're gonna fucking throw shit behind you 100%."
Yeah, like, we were like having meetings with people, and they were saying like we're gonna fix this, and they were getting back into like what the brand strategy and stuff was.
They needed cash.
Yeah,
that's what this was. They needed cash.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
and yeah, and then so then Friday, what, November 1st or something like that.
Sixth.
No.
Well,
Tuesday
was. Oh, the Friday.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The Friday before was like November, I can do math, first or second. They sent out, there was a call, right?
Yeah.
A mandatory call.
Mandatory company call in like what?
Half an hour.
Yeah.
So we got a company-wide email and said there's a company call in half an hour. Like
whoa.
Either somebody's dead or something bad's about to happen like
or,
to the company.
Or maybe
or
we're going to Disney World.
Or maybe we're going to Disney World.
I remember us looking at each other and being like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So they basically told us that they had to lay off so much of the workforce that they have to legally let us know like this is your 60-day notice.
Oh.
So and they so you
yeah,
want to do that
literally
over the phone.
Called the WARN notice.
The WARN Act like
the
it's
WARN
like
Act,
some
yeah.
California thing.
Oh
WARN
God.
Act.
So
okay,
he
so
wanted
it
to, so the CEO wanted to do it over the phone so that like we didn't all everyone didn't get an email and like freak out and start lighting fires.
Uh-huh.
We also got didn't we get letters over the weekend or something?
We got like an yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like
notice
we
notice of perhaps termination.
Yeah. But it was like it was supposed to be a 60-day notice.
It said 60
so, like,
days
yeah.
though.
So that would have been like carried us through to January.
It's a lot of days.
Yeah.
And then they said you know, don't freak out about this. We're going to try to figure it out. We'll get back to you. By Tuesday.
Yeah.
Got
so,
it.
And then what happened on Tuesday?
So Monday rolled around and there was no.
Nothing.
There was nothing. There was no talk from anyone.
Just
at
silence.
All. Complete silence.
We were sort of half producing our next video. We're like, we don't even know if it's going to happen.
We had, like, we were a couple days away from. Like
shooting a brand deal.
A big fucking brand deal.
Oh, God, yeah.
You actually. We still have the recording to that song. Yeah.
Yeah. On Monday, like we were doing a big old brand deal. Like I wrote a rap about some mobile game and
like Civilization.
And we had to go through with it, so we were in the process of recording it. So that all happened.
But there was no word for anyone, and all of the producers were like, "We might still have money to produce. We don't know where the funds are. So I think by the afternoon, we just all started drinking and watching YouTube.
Oh, this is Tuesday.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We were Bloody Tuesday. We were drinking on Monday.
You guys are in office?
Yeah, we were in
Beautiful.
Office.
Beautiful.
We had a nice little corner office.
The liquor store's around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Beverly Hills.
Well, nice corner office that five of us were just saying up. Into.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were like, all right, Tuesday rolled around and there was still nothing. And we're like, all right.
Like
now we're going to start drinking.
57 days.
Yeah, now we're going to start drinking. Well, because they said they would give us an answer. They'd give us the plan. They'd give us the strategy or whatever. Yeah.
Great. But that guy killed himself over the weekend.
No. So we were just watching. What were we watching? Like Babish? Or we were just watching YouTube videos and drinking. That was our morning.
Yeah, shout out to binging with Babish real quick.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing.
Great coping videos.
There was nothing to do because at that point all the funds were frozen. So there was literally
nothing.
But
nobody knew yet.
Nothing we could do. Yeah, we couldn't. So we just sat there and people brought in drinks and there was a liquor store down the street. So we would just buy handles and pass it around.
And then like 5 o'clock rolled around. And then we get the final email said the. Sorry, we're actually out of money. Go get your last paycheck from HR.
And get out.
What happened to my 60-day notice?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No severance
I'm sure
either.
The courts will figure that out at some point. But, yeah.
Wow.
We just got paid for Monday and Tuesday and then
like,
don't come in.
Yeah.
We'd worked there for 5 years in the same office.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So then, like, what did you – were you guys freaking out?
Man.
Well, it was weird.
There was many emotions.
Yeah.
Many.
Sort of like the culmination, like after fight, after like, because it all started like Friday, like really. So like you had Friday to think about it. You had like Saturday, Sunday, you had all Monday to think about it. And then the end of Tuesday. So like you really like everything
kind of
is sort of like, it was just exhausting.
Because
really.
We knew some people from Smosh and they were like, when they found out, they were like, wait, what? And it was just like, they went out drinking too. And they were just not, they were like not knowing what
there
to
was,
do.
Well,
yeah. We also have two friends who were owed millions.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
on. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about the aftermath because that's also ugly. But just that day was like real rough. There was a lot of emotions. It did turn into. Have you seen? Do you remember Fun with Dick and Jane?
Of course.
Yes.
Do you remember the scene where the company went down and people were like stealing plants and
yes.
shredding
fire
things?
And shredding things?
Wow. It was that.
Oh,
it was.
God.
It was that. Almost verbatim. I think nothing was set on fire, but
that's the only thing that didn't
everything
happen.
Else
yeah.
happened.
Wow, dude!
And it was
that's
every
like the last
man.
Game at Candlestick Park. Everyone's fucking ripping chairs
yeah.
off.
Yeah, the owners were like leaving with
yeah,
helicopters
dude.
Too.
They did. They fucking left with like their
did
bags
they really?
And shit.
Yeah,
and, like,
no, Bose actually
them.
Was like, "Does anyone want any fake plants or office supplies?"
Yeah,
that's amazing. And they choppered out of there.
Yeah,
I mean, we had one last meeting with one of the higher ups, and he was like. Quickly packing his things and said, "I have to catch."
He was
a flight.
Actually, he was actually Alec Baldwin. He was actually Alec Baldwin in that yeah. scene. He was like, "Oh, everything's gonna be fine."
He's taking pictures of hands off the wall.
Actually, he did
Guys,
say
I'm
that.
Gonna get back to you with a corporate strategy by Monday.
Yeah.
He did say we were gonna be fine.
That's so good, man.
That's
He's like
so
warp
funny.
Zone. Come in here. Like, is that like? All right,
yeah.
let me tell you.
He's
you
like,
guys are gonna be great. Don't
yeah.
worry about it.
He's I gotta like, go catch a plane.
Can you handle
soon,
that vodka? He puts it in his suitcase. Fucking
You
A.
guys are screwed. I'm screwed. Don't worry about you guys.
Yeah.
We're all screwed
you're
together. You'll
fine.
See, boys.
Yeah.
yeah.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Compared to me, you're fine.
Yeah. yeah. So then, you know, then there was just more drinking and everyone left at different times. I think a few people.
Like 2 a.m.
I feel like a few people spent the night.
Ryan and I
were
the there
phones
2 a.m.
lighting up. Like people, like my friends probably calling being like, hey, is my whole channel gone? What's going on?
I don't think.
They were tweeting.
On that day, I don't think. People knew.
I don't think people knew yet.
People
didn't know that it was like literally everything was gone. They didn't know on Tuesday.
Oh Jesus!
I feel like that was Wednesday. That
That's
was the
insane.
Next day.
Oh my God!
But it was literally just like people like freaking out like in the cubicles and like people were calling lawyers and then like people were yelling at the HR people. People were being nice. The HR people just had to sit there and just, like, sort of take all of it. Just like going out of checks.
I can't do anything else except give your last check.
This is all
and
I have to
like,
do today.
And let's be real. It's not like HR people were taking plastic plants. They didn't get any of that good
job. No, they had to sit there with their checks.
Oh,
they didn't get to loot.
That's too bad.
Too bad for them.
They didn't even get to like talk shit because they're HR.
They're like, I can't loot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Damn. So then what? How did a good Mythical Morning, how did they get involved?
Well, there's a lot that then Mythical came in sort of at the end. Basically, there was a an auction for all the IPs.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh.
So there was an auction for Smosh. There was an auction for Clever. Auction for who else was left? Whoever was left.
Did you guys show up at your own auction?
We tried.
Why not? Wow. We tried.
I mean, it was all.
They wouldn't let you in?
No, they just let us in.
They just like.
They let us in. They let us in. We set a number and they're like, ha!
That's cute.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So.
We thought we were being cool. Like, we're like. We'll just in case we're being like something way lower.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude!
It's like a child sliding a quarter across the table trying to negotiate for cookies.
Oh my God! Yeah.
You guys all wore suits, so I hope.
Yeah.
Okay. Good job.
For your own channel, though. Oh.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And then they ghosted us.
Yeah, but what really happened is we had one meeting with them, like one phone call meeting
with who?
With the people that were handling the auction. And we said, okay, cool. Well, you know, I guess they were definitely just doing their jobs, and their jobs were
to recoup as much debt as they could. So we quickly knew that we weren't going to be able to help them with that.
And but
you were there to get involved with the fire sale, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
But it was. As soon as we gave a number, it was just silence. So we didn't even get a no. Oh. It was just never heard a response from them again.
Yeah, so then we're just in limbo, and this goes on for months, and we're trying to get as much information as we can.
They wouldn't tell us anything. So based off of like rumors, we're hearing like it might go to this place or it might go to this place, and then we're like, well. Maybe if they go to this place, we can be friends with them and work for them, you know, like,
wow.
And see.
Yeah, that was kind of the best case scenario
we figured the best case scenario was it would be the Warp Zone would be bought by someone local.
That wanted to work with us.
Because it could have just as easily been bought by, like, a random media like a company that.
China investor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's. We're buying all these videos, so we'll just play them everywhere, and they wouldn't want to work with us. It was just like speculative.
That may have almost happened.
Wow.
So then we can't say. Yeah.
So then Mythical comes in, and they're like, "Yo, we bought it."
So then, we got an email from Ian being like, "Yo, guys, might have something for you." It was very very cryptic, and he sent that on Monday.
Might have some good news for you guys.
Yeah. So he said that on Monday. And then he was like, we got a call on Friday. So we had a week of speculation and stress. I mean, he said we might have some good news. So we're very hopeful.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, well.
It might have been vaguer than good news.
I think it might have been vaguer. News. He said it was pretty. It was pretty vague. But you know, it was Ian. He's buddy. We figured that something good must have happened. So it's like we figured it was like, oh, Smosh must have been bought by Mythical. Maybe we can go work for Mythical or something.
Yeah.
You know, they're cool. We like.
Yeah,
Ripley.
They're really
and
cool.
They did get bought by Mythical.
And that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That is what ended up happening. In that deal, Mythical also got Warp Zone.
Mm.
So that was. Unexpected.
I don't know how that. Just didn't hear about it.
We had no insight. Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah. You were just employees.
You guys were a bycatch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They put their net in the water and it came out and they're like, oh, we don't want this.
That's what happened. But
I would say bonus.
Oh my God, a turtle.
They're like, oh, we legally can't eat dolphin meat in this country. We'll get back to those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just need to say how amazingly generous they were after catching us in their net.
That's awesome.
They gave it back to us.
That's amazing.
They could have kept it. They could have tried to.
Wow.
We're not. We don't work for Mythical.
So you own your channel again.
We own our channel.
Wow, that's such a great story.
You guys got to fuck
Alloy by selling your shit to them. So fuck them too. You guys got double. You double dip, baby. You live in the fucking dream in this bitch, dude. I love it. Yeah, this turned out to be a very happy story.
You would have paid all your money for it too.
We learned nothing because we got it back. So here's what happened. To sum it all up, these guys fucked the man. Then the man diddled them for like 4 years. And then they fucked the man right back. Hell yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that's an awesome success story. Yeah. So you guys do have your channel back. Yeah. Where can they find you?
They can find us on YouTube at The Warp Zone. Where else can they find us?
All social medias.
Facebook at The Warp Zone. Yeah, we have everything now. Yeah, Instagram, Warp Zone.
Wow.
We
got it all back.
That's how good does that feel?
It feels
just like elated.
Did you ever think it would happen?
No.
No. Never.
Yeah, they put an offer down and they scoffed at the offer.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
We never thought that it would happen. Wow. We were sure. We were like, best case scenario. We were thinking like, oh, maybe indentured servitude. Like when we
We thought like maybe we could work out a deal where we like worked it off over several years.
Was that IP check worth it? looking back now,
for an
ally. Here's the thing.
Well,
yes.
Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good. It was worth it because we wouldn't have been able to leave Maker.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have been able to do it for full time.
Yeah.
We still wouldn't have been able to grow ways. It.
Wouldn't have had a bunch of anxiety attacks. Like, you know.
But I mean, it sucked. You know, there was definitely, it sucked what happened. I really think that even though it was, that bullshit happened, it was still like a good call.
We would all make the decision again.
It was really the only way to get out of Maker and
go to the next level.
Go to the next level.
You took a shot. It was a risk. Right.
Yeah.
I think the fallout is we got a PhD in YouTube and business.
Yeah, now we got
You know analytics, you know SEO, so now we know how to not get fucked over.
We know how to get fucked over.
You know how to get fucked over, in and out.
But I got to say, I can't wait to hear how you guys are going to step in it next year.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's going to be interesting.
You still living in bunk beds right now? Just keep the bunk beds.
Keep them in storage just in case.
Just in case.
If you put a bag of shit on a mountain, these guys will step on it somehow. They'll find it and fucking step on it.
We like to do a thing called final thoughts. Is when you just have like one final thought of the episode. I'll start. I don't take risks, everyone.
Nice. Very nice.
Just don't take interest.
That's good.
Quite the lesson. Boys,
go ahead.
Be careful with companies, but sometimes people can just be
surprise
people.
You.
Yeah.
have faith and roll with it. It's going to suck for a minute, but you will find out that you will come out at the other end okay. We all do.
Plus, even if you just come out mediocre, it feels like amazing because you were just like way down here.
Yeah.
So
it can only go up from there.
Stepping shits, you can like wipe the shit off and be like, oh, it's almost a new shoe.
Yeah.
The break from the YouTube treadmill is also kind of nice.
I bet.
Yeah, true.
I bet. Welcome back.
Yeah. Oh, great. We're back on it. Oh, you were up till 2 a.m. yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Jesus.
Final thought. It's going to be so cliche, but it's like, I think if you're nice to everyone, even in a cutthroat business like YouTube or just entertainment in general, like eventually good shit happens, you know?
Yeah.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cliche, but you know,
dude, what
I feel
if you
like,
guys were dicks to Smosh?
What if we were?
No, dude. Like, yeah.
If we were hanging here, fuck you in every hallway you're in. Fuck you. Make it out that way, dude.
We would have fucked ourselves over and we would have had no idea.
Yeah. You would have been like, oh, yeah, we got the mythical. Would have been like, yeah, we got this channel, the Warp Zone. We're going to turn it into a fucking parking lot or something.
Being aggro as fucked and been like, man, we just get fucked all the time.
Yeah. Dude, especially, can you imagine being mean to Rhett and Link, like two of the nicest
guys? Yeah, that would be terrible.
But if you had done
that. I don't even know how you. You'd have to be a real dick to be
You'd have to be a real dick.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. They are the nicest people.
Yeah. Ever.
All right, well, thank you so much for being here.
I have a real final thought.
What?
I think that you should, one of my favorite cheers always goes like this, be aggressive. And I think that you should always try to be aggressive, as aggressive as you can, and also have a lawyer. Thank you.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, guys. We love talking to you.
Thank you.
Love getting to vent with you. And congrats on having your channel back. Also, if you're listening out there, you can email us anytime, podcast@nikki.limo, and subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It really helps helps our, helps us out a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
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 Why didn't anyone tell me?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.